one of one is missing.
I knew something was up.
Pop, that's almost twice as much going for the same price.
I just freaking love that Raider rookie logo.
Doing more buying.
Which one of these five quarterbacks has the worst set of pass catchers to throw the football to?
Guess how much I sniped this for an auction.
Number to five, you dirty animal.
I'm telling you, these optic on-card autos are money.
Let's go. NoOffseason.com. His name is Andy. My name is Carter. We're all a part of the Football Card Quest Network. And Andy, what we want everyone to do, all right, is after this video, walk us through your taxes. Everyone has filed taxes. We want to know if the tax monster has really come for you and your eBay sales or any of your card sales, goods and service sales. On and offline. We want to know your tax stories. And Andy, it obviously, you know, varies from state to state. But still, it is ridiculous if you do sell a lot, how much you have to eventually pay back to Uncle Sam.
Yeah, luckily, you know, some states don't have income tax. And when you're in certain states, There is a threshold. So, you know, it was originally, the IRS had originally planned to implement the $600 1099-K reporting threshold in last year. So now it plans for a $5,000 threshold in 2024 to phase in implementation. This is the latest from what I'm reading. But me personally, luckily, living in Florida with no state income tax, the threshold was really, really high, and I didn't sell that much or make that much, so I didn't have to pay any taxes on that. And I've got a bunch of kids, so that kind of helps offset everything else right. that I do. So,
yeah, I sold a decent amount on eBay this year. I definitely sold more than I bought, but you know, that's why you go to shows. Those cash deals, baby. You can't freaking beat it. But Andy, we're going to talk about the NFL draft. We are 1 week from the NFL draft. Andy, I'm going to bring it up. I didn't bring it up to you in the pre-show. There is a Jaden Daniels autograph or two that I'm going to do 99-cent auctions and let it ride from Wednesday until Wednesday. So it's not the night of the draft where everyone's busy. Do you agree with that strategy? Doing some 99-cent auctions of some college uni autos of some of the big players in this draft?
I do. Yeah, especially if you know, you look at the guys that were invited to draft night. I think that's a tell that, you know, it's not a guarantee, because there were, I think it was Will Levis was invited to draft night, and he was awkwardly sitting there, you know, not getting taken in the first round. So, I think that's a tell, though, of the guys that are going to, and we know by, you know, looking at the mocks, there's a few quarterbacks that are unanimously going to go in the top 10. Jaden Daniels is one of those. I'm a firm believer that your guy, Jaden Daniels, is probably going to go to the Commanders or the Patriots there, the top three. And if you end the auction draft night, how can you go wrong? How can you go wrong? I know a lot of people are going to be watching the draft, but there's kind of like slow time periods between each right. pick, where you have plenty of time to be perusing eBay. We're going to have live coverage. You know, we're going to be going pick by pick and correlating that with the card market. I know some guys are going to be following along. And then you've also just got commercial breaks and stuff. So I think it's a good time to end the auction. You know, the NFL draft is arguably the most hyped NFL event all year, except for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's... To me, Andy, I'm actually going to do one Jaden 99-cent auction night of the draft, and I'm going to actually end one the night before. So I'm going to do a Wednesday to Wednesday and then a Thursday to Thursday. I do think, though, for me, Jaden is still going to be the best quarterback in this draft. But we'll save that discussion for a little bit later. Andy actually wanted to bring up the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson debate that has been discussed quite a bit on this channel. Andy, it's interesting now that the Lamar MVP glow has dimmed here in a bit. It seems like Josh Allen is back to 3X in LJ8.
Yeah, he really is. So this really caught my eye. The latest sold data between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson on the right. I mean, just compare sold auctions from yesterday of an optic raw Josh Allen, $112.50, 14 bids. Lamar Jackson, $39, 7 bids. And so you can kind of go down the sold items and you can find this trend continuing. Look at here. A tricolor select PSA 10, Josh Allen, $645. Same day, an auction, the same exact card for Lamar Jackson, PSA 10, everything identical, $210. So we completely take out condition of the card here, and you've got a 3X increase in the value of Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson on average.
Yeah, so for me, Andy, I think Josh is better than Lamar. But what they've done up to this point, Lamar's had a better career, and he's got two MVPs. Josh Allen has zero. And on top of that, even if you are like someone like me that thinks Josh is a slightly better quarterback than Lamar Jackson, there's no reason for it to be 3X, 4X prices.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the difference in their stats. You know, yeah, Josh Allen puts up 5 extra touchdowns. You know, he put up 600 extra passing yards. Lamar put up an extra 300 rushing yards. So there's really not a huge difference there. So, you know, we're like kind of nitpicking here, but between the pass attempts, Josh Allen threw the ball 579 times compared to the 457 for Lamar Jackson. So there's a massive difference in just overall, I think, pace of play. And when you like look at pace of play, Lamar Jackson ranked actually one of the slowest in the league. Josh Allen wasn't too much faster, but he obviously threw the ball a lot more. So I don't know, Carter, in terms of like passing efficiency, I felt, you know, just looking at the overall completion percentage, Lamar Jackson was just slightly better. He had some interesting rankings in terms of pressured completion. He ranked 5 in red zone completion. He ranked 4th. Whereas you look at Josh Allen in pressured completion, he ranked 17th. In red zone, he ranked 12th. So, you know, it's like, okay. And, you know, overall, though, in terms of like clean pocket completion, they're about neck and neck. Josh Allen, 11th. Lamar Jackson, 14th. And they had about the same protection rate. So, yeah, I don't think Lamar Jackson is that much worse than Josh Allen. And I think you and I both agree that the team scenario for the Baltimore Ravens is better,
yeah,
and has a better outlook than the Buffalo Bills right now.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Lamar. All right. He's already a legendary quarterback. Like, he's won 2 MVPs. He's got a Heisman Trophy. You know, is he a Pro Football Hall of Famer if his career ended today? Probably not. He probably needs at least 3 more years of elite play. He's not going anywhere. Same thing is true for Josh Allen. And as Hector points out, you know, both quarterbacks need to get over the hump. But yeah, I mean, I would love to dive deeper into this comparison because, you know, for a while when Jalen Hurts became great, it took him a while to catch up to Herbert and Burrow. I sometimes wonder if race is a factor in both of their prices. But for me, they both need to win a Super Bowl for anyone to truly feel comfortable when it comes to the actual purchasing of these guys the same way that people purchase, let's say, a Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I have to consider when looking at this is that, you know, their prices have been relatively stagnant for the past couple years. You can go back to the beginning of 2021. You know, after the 2020 season, Josh Allen really went up big time because that was his breakout year. That was his third year. It was his breakout year. He improved big time in red zone accuracy and just and just winning games and made a deep run. And then Lamar Jackson came way down, and it was a combination of injuries. And also his prices were just so crazy high from that MVP season he had in, what was that, 2019, right? 2019 was his MVP year. So the next year was just a big, he didn't live up to expectations. We're at the height of the modern, ultra modern, I guess, if you will, sports card bubble boom there. And so, yeah, they both have been stagnant since then. They have not gotten over the hump, and I do think it is going to take a Super Bowl run from these guys. But now it's like you look at the AFC and you're like, well, they're gonna have to get through the Houston Texans, man. You got the new sheriff on the block in CJ Stroud,
man. I am so curious to see how this AFC plays out this next year. You know, I go back to like Drew Brees' market, like one of my all-time favorite quarterbacks. No MVPs, but he did have one Super Bowl and a pretty legendary career. You know, for a quarterback like him who accomplished so much, it's still amazing like how cheap you can get like Drew Brees autographed stuff. Like, I mean, Drew Brees put an entire franchise into modern day relevancy. So we'll see. Let's go to Gabe Davis comment. Gabe, of course, one of my closest buddies. And he says CJ Stroud is the next LeBron James.
Ooh, that's a bold take, man. That's spicy.
Yeah, I like it. He's hyperbolizing. He really doesn't believe that. Because I did an Anthony Richardson video this last week. And I'm going to be honest, Andy. I can't believe I'm saying this about a Florida Gator. I've talked myself into AR. If things go according to plan, it's the next Josh Allen. I have talked myself into it. I felt dirty saying it during the video. I know the likelihood of him ever being that good is very, very, very low. But I think it's in the realm of possibility, and I kind of want to get my hands on some Richardson product.
The athleticism is unreal, you know, so it's hard to argue against that because he's still very much a rookie, right? He played in four games, and what we saw was pretty promising. I have to go over and check out your Anthony Richardson video on Power NFL because you do a great job of breaking down the film and why these guys excel or, you know, struggle in certain areas and like show examples. So I love that. But yeah, I mean, there's so much upside for Anthony Richardson, and we've seen the work ethic, you know, we've seen like just, you know, that kind of leadership mentality that you want to see from quarterbacks. And also Gardner Minshew really excelled in this, system last year with the Colts under Shane Steichen. So I like Anthony Richardson's upside this year. And you look at his prices compared to CJ Stroud, they're like half, you know, and then you have Bryce Young that's like at, you know, a quarter of what CJ Stroud is at. And then you've got Will Levis that's like 10%. So if you want something that's like, yeah, you're putting some money on the table, you're making a risk, but at the same time, there's still a lot of upside there. They're in the same division, you know, so there could be a clear winner there in 2024. And Anthony Richardson certainly has the athleticism to convert.
Let's shift over to the draft because we are that much closer. One guy that has truly interested me is Ladd McConkey. Okay. Ladd McConkey probably doesn't have a whole lot of product. I got to be honest, I've not even searched Ladd McConkey cards. I actually have quite a few Brock Bowers cards. I'm a huge Brock Bowers fan. But Ladd McConkey, I truly do believe he will sneak into the first round. And Andy, if he were to sneak into the first round, you know where he's going, right? To a loaded spot. He's going to the Chiefs. He's going somewhere along those lines. And I don't think the Chiefs would spend a first-round pick on him because the Sky Moore experiment failed. And Ladd McConkey's kind of a similar type of prospect, a smaller receiver. But he's grown on me, and I think if he does sneak it to the first round, he's going to a good landing spot, and thus his cards would go up.
You know what I like about Ladd? He's only got 7 different rookie cards. So if you guys are new to the hobby, make sure you check out tcdb.com. It's a great resource for finding out how many different rookie cards there are for each player, and it'll tell you what those are. So if we look here right now, some of these aren't, you're probably not even going to get your hands on right now because they're just incredibly rare. Like these 2022 super products, serial numbered out of 1. I mean, you kind of name your price for these cards. So you're kind of looking at maybe an autograph mem card out of 99 from Super Products, or this one out of 50. I kind of pulled them up on eBay, and you could see some people are making these custom ACO style cards, right? You know, impressionist style art cards. Here's your, I think this is the, I think this is kind of one of the cards. This is a recently sold from yesterday auction, 33 bids. Honestly, not bad when you consider the guy's got literally no cards available. So if you're getting your hands on something that has a patch, so the autographed is guaranteed by Super Products. And then you have, so I do see quite a few solds from this company, Keepsake Edition, the Super Products company. And the authentic items used in this card was a portion of his glove. Doesn't say if it was from a game or anything like that. It just advertises as the first ever patch autograph. I mean, $67, Carter.
Yeah, and that's why having that limited product is so key. I like Ladd McConkey as a college player. I don't love him as much as others as a pro prospect. I loved him a little bit more when, like, early in the draft cycle, he was like a midday second, third round pick. But I don't know. Let me ask you this, Andy, before we talk the draft quarterbacks. Is there a draft wide receiver that you love that, let's just take Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison out of the equation. Is there a draft wide receiver you have fallen in love with?
Well, you know, it's funny that you asked that because, you know, I do like Xavier Worthy, but there's something about these Tennessee wide receivers, man, that I feel like they get a lot of hype pretty easily. And so I've been looking at Jalen Wright rookie cards lately, and his athletic profile is super, super juicy, man. I mean, the guy is so fast, not quite Xavier Worthy fast, but when you run a sub 4.4, a 4.38, you're 5'11". A thick BMI at 210 pounds, and you can run that fast. That puts you in elite, you know, height adjusted speed score. And the guy just was like, he was like a deep ball threat at Tennessee. And I know you've got your own thoughts about the Tennessee offense, but I feel like, you know, we saw Jalen Hyatt, Cedric Tillman, these other Tennessee receivers.
I do want to. Xavier Worthy's with Texas. He's not with Tennessee.
That's right. I didn't mean to imply that he was from Tennessee, but Jalen Wright from Tennessee. I was going back and thinking about Jalen Hyatt and Cedric Tillman.
Yeah.
As guys that I saw them get a lot of hype very easily in the preseason training camp process, only for them to they haven't broken out at all yet, but you know, when I look at like college rookie cards that I can flip, I'm looking for guys that can flash in training camp and preseason. And I don't know why, but these Tennessee wide receivers from recent history have all kind of done that. And so I'm looking at Jalen Wright right now pretty hard. And, you know, Bowman Chrome University first autos are selling for less than $20. So when I compare that to these other guys, I'm like, I'm in.
So, Andy, just let people know, you don't draft as much on Underdog as I do. So I'm still diehard football cards. I spend so much time drafting on Underdog. And early in the draft cycle, I was drafting so much Jalen Wright when he wasn't even getting selected. And now, Andy, he is a top 150 pick consistently on Underdog Fantasy. Yeah, consistently. And his autos really have not changed all that much, right? So I love it. But as you mentioned, and for my SEC job, Power Hour SEC, I just got done cutting my film study for the Tennessee spring game. Andy, this offense, it's so weird watching an NFL game and then watching the Tennessee offense. It is the most unique offense in any level of football. They're the only ones that do what they do. It's their variation of the Art Briles air raid, but it still doesn't look like the Robert Griffin III Art Briles air raid. It's just like a completely different thing. And I've spoken to coaches about this, and they always say, hey, I don't think Tennessee – well, one coach said this, and he's an air raid guy. He said, I don't think Tennessee players will ever, under Josh Heupel, be able to translate to the NFL unless they're a lineman, right? And that concerns me. That's why, like, a guy like Joe Milton, I know he's been a play of the week, and last week we talked about Joe Milton staying away. Jalen Wright, staying away. Okay, even though I love him and I've drafted him a lot and his athletic profile is great, Andy, he ran into light boxes quite a bit. And what a light box is a 5 or 6 man box of defenders. And the NFL, it's just not how it works, man. You got to run through muddy boxes. And Jalen Wright's a freak athlete, and I think he could be good, but I am very worried about him at the next level. Let me get your thoughts really quickly on Jalen Hyatt, because that's a guy that the fantasy community has gone back and forth on. I kind of like the play, but I kind of don't, because I do think the Giants are going to go wide receiver at 6.
Yeah. So, you know, Jalen Hyatt was a guy that had super expensive rookie autos just coming out in his rookie year. And he had, you know, a couple games where he put up a couple touchdowns and he burnt, you know, he took the top off of defense, and all of a sudden people went pretty crazy for him. But if you look at the current solds now, you can find some better data now on Wandale Robinson than you can on Jalen Hyatt. So, I mean, he's just totally regressed back to this speculative. I mean, there's still some people like, I've got a Spectra here out of 10 rookie auto for $115, but that's pretty run of the mill what you're going to find for a card that scarce. You know, all the standard stuff for him is pretty cheap. You know, $14.99 for the Luminance year one rookie auto, $35 for an Immaculate rookie auto out of 49. So, I mean, that's pretty cheap. You know, it's towards the bottom end of the draft class, not trading like the guy that he was hyped up to be at the beginning of last season.
It's time for a hobby tip of the week. I want to go a little bit longer on this, Andy, because it's our favorite segment. I love play of the week and all that stuff. Hobby tip of the week. If you are going to the NFL draft or anything along those lines, always have a prepped marker ready to go. Okay. If you want to get your draft program signed or something like that, because you never know when you're going to be in that spot. And, you know, Andy, a few weeks ago, we talked about Lil Boosie signing my Power Hour LSU shirt. Lil Boosie is one of the best rappers of all time, in my opinion. And he's a big LSU fan. And I met with him, hung out with him for a little bit. And when he went to sign my shirt, I did not have my marker prepped. Okay, I cannot stress enough marker preparation. And Andy, this weekend, I went to the LSU spring game for my job, and I interviewed the number one rated quarterback in the country that's going to LSU. His name is Bryce Underwood. This time, Andy, I did have a marker prepped, and he gave me a beautiful signature on one of my Joe Burrow t-shirts I was wearing. So nice. If you're going to an event or something like that, please make sure your marker is prepped beforehand. It made me feel so much better that he gave me a nice clean signature for an 18-year-old high school kid. And then, Andy, the next thing, I want to bring back what we talked about at the very beginning. In the comment section below after this video, I want you, and we want to know everything, not like your actual tax number or anything like that. Tell us what your buying experiences and selling experiences were like this past year. it's very important that Andy gets this information, because he's going to use these responses to cater content around how you guys are buying and selling now. And it's also good for me, so I can know like better ways to give you better plays of the week and stuff like that. So comment down below or in the chat right now, if you're watching this on a premiere, what was buying and selling like? And did you get a big old fat chunk of change that you had to send to Uncle Sam because of your buying and selling? We want to know. So Andy, my question for you over this past year, how has your buying and selling experience been?
It's been pretty smooth. You know, it's not been as much volume as years past, primarily focused a lot on the content creation side. You know, but I haven't had any lost in the mail. I haven't had any sellers claim, want to claim refunds or claim damaged cards, stuff like that. And I have, you know, I probably sent out somewhere close to 100 cards over the course of the year. So it was pretty decent. You know, every time a player broke out, whether it was news related or performance related, and the team scenario and everything was right, you know, I moved a decent amount of cards. And so, you know, I do the best whenever I'm consistently listing cards on a weekly basis at a minimum. But even better than that is just doing like 2 to 3 cards a day. It's hard. It's kind of like, you know, making sure that you, you know, you getting some kind of exercise in on a daily basis kind of thing. But, you know, it's just one of those things that you will start performing better and better in the eBay algorithm when you do that.
All right, let's put Ziggy No's comment up there. He says, I filed an extension. I had to as well, Ziggy. Taxes are a beast. Well, I didn't. My wife does my taxes, but we did file an extension. I have to pay taxes because I make too much money. My hobby lesson is to write off the cost so you don't pay taxes on sales only. Sales are not profits. Yes, write-offs are very key. Now, Andy, at some point, maybe when I'm not on here, you could do it for a different stream, maybe with Kyle Desi. I don't mind doing it on mine. I am interested in what all you can write off. So I would love to have like a CPA on here to get people ready for next year. So really appreciate that, Ziggy. No. And then he also said, do you recommend a brand, a Sharpie? Yeah, normally a black Sharpie if you're just going to just some random public event. But paint pens are a tricky, tricky beast, Andy. I am not the guy to talk to you about paint pen signatures. There are plenty of autograph experts out there that could tell you a little bit more about paint pens. Andy Hector says he has an Excel sheet, so he keeps up with all his stuff there. Do you do that? Do you keep your database up to date?
Yeah, you know, I did. And you can actually do that through our app now. We're actually in beta testing a raw card connection for that as well. So you can log your raw cards as well as graded cards in our app. So that'll be through our website. But in the meantime, yeah, Google Sheets or an Excel is probably the easiest way. You just put down the date that you bought it, how much you paid for it, the fees, and then you can log when you sell it. And so you can keep track of that, because eBay only goes back a certain amount of time. I think it's actually, they do go back 6 months on your sold data. So you can actually run a report and look at that. But, you know, when you're talking about the entire year, it's easiest just to keep track of that. And there's apps out there, you know, like QuickBooks and stuff that'll make it easy for you to log all that stuff too. But there are benefits to writing off cards. Like, I've heard this before, Carter. I haven't done this myself, but there are people who write off the cards as office decorations. Like, if you have your card dealing business registered, you can use your cards as decorations. You know, I mean, like, we're a prime example. If I have cards displayed on the wall right here, that's office decorations.
Yeah,
you know, and so you can write off all your card purchases to help offset, you know, the profits that you make from selling cards. And I think there's a lot of creative ways like that you can you know, you can use on your taxes at the end of the year, because this year specifically, like, it didn't apply to me last year, but this year is going to be different. When they implement the 1099K rule on a much lower threshold, I believe it's going to be $5,000 this year. That's going to be significant. And that's from what I'm seeing here on irs.gov. So for tax year 2024, the IRS plans for a threshold of $5,000 to phase in reporting requirements. So if you make over $5,000, that's in Venmo payments, PayPal, eBay, you're going to be sent a 1099K from that company, eBay, Venmo, PayPal, and you're going to have to report that on your taxes.
There you go. Ziggy Knows dropping a bunch of gems. If you want deeper detail in the live chat, and Ziggy, when this is over, just type out everything in the comment section below so people can see that. But yeah, write things off the best you possibly can. Now, I don't make six figures a year, so I don't think the FBI is coming to lock me up by any stretch of the imagination. But Andy, here's the thing: next year I'm going to be a $3 million man because I'm winning Best Ball Mania on Underdog Fantasy. I'm calling it right now. I'm just putting that out into existence. Okay, so before we get into play of the week, let's take a few more questions. We want to make first timers feel welcome. Oisey Baby says, what's your advice to new card investors? Buy what you like. Basically, if you're just now starting and you just clicked on this video for football card information, do your research. And one thing, if you are just starting, join the football card Patreon. All right, there's a link down below. It's only $6 a month. And Andy, I wish the football card Discord was around when I first started. Because right when I started, you were actually the one that saved me thousands. So that would be the best thing. And there's people out there that can one-on-one help you if you are a beginner. So it's worth the $6 a month. And that's what I would recommend. Andy, is there anything that you would say to a very first-timer like Oisey Baby?
That's very open-ended. I guess my initial, you know, when I look back to when I first got in and knowing what I know now compared to then, if I could have gone back, I would have just been a little bit more selective in what I bought. I didn't realize how quickly I could spend $1,000 on sports cards. And then, like, you know, like 75% of them were base cards that I ended up, you know, like breaking even on or grinding out a small profit, or some of them I'm even still holding, like, you know, the Jalen Ragers and the stuff of the world, you know, like a stack of Mosaic Gabe Davises that I have over here, you know, so, and Tyler Johnson amongst some others. But I would have just been more selective. Go and watch, you know, the videos I've been putting out about the top 10 cards from each draft class is, I think, a good one for new people because it helps them understand what factors on a card make it desirable, because you don't want to buy a card that other people don't find desirable in the hobby. And so the fastest way to understand what's desirable in the hobby when a player has 4,000 different rookie cards is to go watch those videos, hop in our Discord server, because that's when we can really help you with your specific situation and instance. Like if you're thinking about buying such and such Lamar Jackson card for a specific price, you can post that up in there. And, you know, there's guys that I don't think they sleep, or maybe they sleep during the day and like this is what they do. And so they're, you know, you'll have a conversation with someone if you're up late at night, you know, about a specific card and price point. So that's what I love about it. It's a community of like-minded guys that are really into the hobby. And then we've got all the fantasy football channels and stuff in there as well. So
I'm very frugal. I do not spend a lot of money. I really, really, really don't. I really wish this existed prior. Now, I was very lucky early that Andy and I became friends and we were able to bounce ideas off of each other. But I remember Andy buying Kobe White rookie cards. And he's a basketball player. And ironically, Andy, you probably don't know this because you don't care a whole lot about basketball. Kobe White was actually a good NBA player this year. Did you know that?
I did not, but I did have some of his rated rookie base Donruss on ComC from back that I bought in the summer of 2020 when I first got in. Just buy, and somebody told me to buy them, and so I bought them and I sold them finally, like years later,
for huge losses. So
yeah,
so Kobe White, like, Diamond football player. That's how clueless we were early in the process. But now there's resources like the Football Card Patreon. And for those that don't know, yeah, even though Andy and I work together, I actually still pay the $6 a month. That's how much I believe in the product. So make sure you join. Andy, I see you highlighted Jason Mann's comment. So we will go to that one now.
Yeah, I did, because I love this. I love that this is the kind of area where I think we can really shine in the content creation space within sports cards, because, you know, there's a lot of videos where we can talk about player values overall. In fantasy football, there's only one variation of a player. You know, you're spending a draft pick on a player, but there's not multiple versions of that player you get to pick from. It's just, you know, where you are in the draft order and which round you are kind of dictates whether or not you're overpaying or underpaying, or you're paying right on par for that player. But when it comes to sports cards, I mean, you can simply overpay just by buying the wrong card from the wrong set of a specific player. So, you know, the number of parallels continues to grow each year, the number of sets continue to grow, and so this is super valuable information to know which parallels and which sets perform the best from a and the word investment kind of sets you up for like this long-term expectation, like a mutual fund is an investment or something, you know, yeah, like a CD. But, you know, so like, and then I like to use the word flipping, or you could just say buying and selling, because when you want to go sell that card, you don't want to be stuck with it because nobody wants it because you bought, you know, a rookies and stars such and such.
But really quickly here, rookie ticket autos, Prism, those are always going to be contenders. Rookie ticket auto and Prisms are always going to be hot cards. It doesn't matter the set. Doesn't matter even if there's not CJ Stroud autos in Prism. People still love the regular Prism sets.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a common one. You're going to see across all the draft years from 2012 to present day, Prism is going to be some form of Prism is going to be in the top three every single time, every year. Brand recognition there is huge. I mean, even I was looking at the, you know, the Black Prism from Chronicles, which is a more common card. It also, you know, it's just doesn't quite have that same scarcity and allure as the base Prism. And it's one of those newer sets that was just released dating back to 2020. So it's one of those new ultra modern sports card offshoots, you know, off brands within a bigger brand set. And so it's but surprisingly, it does the best from any other card in Chronicles, really. I mean, this is the best performing card from Chronicles. And you can see just what having that Prism logo on the front is doing for the card.
And I'm not even a Prism Black fan. I don't really understand its purpose, but it still does really, really, really well. As someone that's tried to get a Prism Black Justin Jefferson auto for a while, those still regularly go over $300, which is pretty high, if you ask me. So there you go. James Lardicus says, I look like a brown guy named Rodri. Andy, have you ever heard of Rodri?
Browner guy named I have not.
Rodri. But you want to know what's funny is I've been called Danny Alves before, because I got to do a video with Barcelona Soccer over a decade ago. And it got released in YouTube. a decade ago, and there was a ton of comments that said, this guy looks like a fat Danny Alves. So, James, I appreciate it. And he says, I look better than Rodri. Okay. Sure. I don't know if you're hitting on me now, but I am flattered. But there you go. I will tell you this, James, I would much rather be Rodri than myself, because he is a very wealthy guy. But enough about Liverpool. Enough about soccer, excuse me. Liverpool sucks right now. Let's go to Femi the Lion. I thought the Panini Phoenix archetype case hits would be a top dollar card. They look amazing, but they grade extremely hard.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is that most of Panini Phoenix actually grades really well. So to see that a specific case hit, which you want to target because case hits are more scarce, and if it's a known case hit, like if people in the hobby unanimously agree, like they do with Sparkle cards, they know that they're super short print. Or if you look at the snake skin, you know, if you look at the zebra print, they know that's a case hit. And so therefore it just always goes for a premium dollar value. You hate to see it grade extremely hard, because you'd love to get back a 10 anytime. So that's rough. But most times, Carter, even if you get a 9 on these case hits, it's not going to hurt you that bad. It's still going to do better than the raw card. And now you've got it protected, you know?
Yeah.
And authenticated.
Yeah, you know, Andy, I've just seen this vaguely, but I've just grown on cards just in a one touch. I really have. I mean, some cards just look good in a one touch. They really, really, really do. Oizy Baby says Andy's top 10 football cards in 22 video this morning was good.
Yeah, I decided to pivot from 2012 to, I think, one of your favorite draft classes, 2013, Carter.
Yes.
Because I knew that, you know, if I did 2013 this week, that's great. But 2022 is being bought and sold a lot more frequently on a daily basis. So it's like it's you know, really? It's a lot more current information that I think needed to get out, and instead of, you know, 2 months from now. So yeah, I'm going to continue releasing those videos every week.
I love it. I love it. Ryan, Andy, we'll get you all set up in the Discord after this video is done, but welcome if you're new to the Patreon. There we go. New sign up. We love to see
you. Yeah. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome. There should be an automatic like webhook that triggers you to get in there, but yeah, you can, if you're in the Patreon, you can send me a message in there, and I send everybody a message that joins in there, and we can make sure that you get in there. Even if it's a manual process, we'll make sure you get in there, Ryan.
All right, Andy, it is time. And we'll take a few more questions, but it is time for play of the week.
Carter, I got a question for you before we get into play of the week. Are you ready to start grading your cards?
Yeah, actually, I am. I'm thinking about grading with a certain company, Andy.
Well, CGC Cards is the perfect place to slab your favorite football cards. From their crystal clear holders to their affordable pricing, CGC Cards is the perfect stop for your grading needs. You can go to cgccards.com to start grading today. They have bulk submissions for as low as $12 per card.
Wait, 12?
$12 per card in their bulk submission.
No.
I know. It's very good.
Wait, how do they make money if they're only doing $12? That's crazy stuff. I like that. You can't pass that up, baby. $12?
Check it out. It's a great company to get your feet wet grading. Their holders they look incredible. You know, the quality of plastic and everything, and the resale. I know so many people are concerned about the resale value. You know, so much focus on resale value, and of course, PSA 10 is a PSA 10, but CGC has their gold label pristine, their 10s and their 9s. They're very comparable to SGC, and actually, as of lately, I've seen even better resale values on the CGC than SGC. Like they're not too far behind PSA. And you got to think about it. They've only been grading sports cards since 2021. So, okay. You know, they're backed by the largest coin and paper and comic book grading companies in the world. So they have an incredible emphasis on consistency and quality product. Definitely worth checking out.
So true story, you know, so Andy and I do about like 10, 15 minutes of prep before we go live. And he didn't tell me that there was going to be like a CGC little read right here. I did not know it was $12. Like that is insanely, insanely cheap and affordable. And Andy, you know, I'm not the biggest, like I need the absolute maximum in resale value kind of person. I mean, if you really want your card to be slapped for $12 a pop, take it all day, every day, baby.
That's it. All day, every day.
$12. I might actually go through some of my LSU super short print cards that, like I just said a minute ago, keep it a one touch, and take advantage of this. So there you go. Hector, no free knife set to come with it. But Andy, you did have a little R.I.P. Billy Mays in your little read in there. I like it, man. Like the flex seal. Yeah. I will give my play of the week. Well, actually, no, I'm gonna let you go first, guys.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, on. So you know, one of my research, and you guys have heard me mention them a lot. I use playerprofiler.com to look at some advanced metrics and to also look at their best comparable players feature. And there's a guy that you've mentioned before, Carter, that actually had some really impressive performances this past year for the Packers. He came from a small school with, you know, lower draft capital. His name was Dontavian Wicks. You've mentioned Dontavian Wicks as a play before on the show. And so going through the best comparable draft prospects that could go higher than expected in the draft, and it could be a good landing spot as well. I'm looking at this young man named Javon Baker from University of Central Florida, who had a really, really dominant target share, more or less a ball hog at UCF. And he's 6'1", 202. So pretty good size. With being best comparable to Dontavian Wicks, kind of tells you he doesn't have that like explosive athletic profile. He's going to be more similar to like a Puka Nacua, I think, athletic profile. But, you know, we saw what Puka did last year. So I don't know. I like targeting these guys because then I go and look up Javon Baker on eBay. And I find there's actually stuff out there for him, and it's very cheap.
Javon Baker, believe it or not, Andy, is a wide receiver that I liked at first, right? Alabama transfer. We've seen other Alabama transfers go to other schools and still get drafted high. So Jamison Williams was an Alabama transfer to Ohio State, and Javon Baker transfers. And, you know, once he got the role that he needed, he performed. I am a little worried, though. He was in Gus Malzahn's offense. And like the Tennessee offense that we talked about earlier, Gus schemes a lot of things open. And I like Baker okay, though. I mean, a lot of people that are smarter than me like Javon Baker. But when you get autos that cheap, and this card looks good, and the Onyx Vintage Baker for $10, getting a good landing spot, watch out.
Yeah, I just think he's one of those small school. Well, I say small school, but you're right. You brought up the fact he transferred from UCF to Alabama. Was that like halfway through the season or at the end of the season, before?
Yeah, he started at Alabama and then went to UCF. And this was this season. I like him though physically, and you look at something like yards per route run numbers, he's pretty good. So there you go. So I just learned that Oise Baby is a Bama guy. So guess what, Andy? My play of the week is a Bama guy. I can't believe it. Because before last draft, I was telling you about Jahmyr Gibbs. He gets drafted in the first round and he's awesome. Okay, right. I have been anti-Tua. I have been anti-Mac Jones, and we'll see what happens to Tua this year. So, Andy, you have to admit, Bama guys, I've been relatively accurate in predicting their success. Because if I really have to say something nice about the University of Alabama, I got to mean it. All right. I'm going to give you Jermaine Burton. The NFL draft guys, the fantasy underdog ADPs and stuff like that, you're starting to come around on Jermaine Burton. Now, Andy, are you familiar with Jermaine Burton at all?
I mean, I'm looking at a really good burst score at 6'196".
Okay. Let's talk about Jermaine Burton really quickly. Starts off at Georgia. All right. So, you know, we talked about Ladd McConkie, talked about Brock Bowers, talked about all these Georgia weapons. He demanded targets in a Georgia offense with all those guys and A.D. Mitchell all in that room. Okay. That was when James Cook was still there. I mean, these Georgia offenses, you really had to earn targets. And Jermaine Burton caught the big pass in the national championship game to get things going. Right. George Pickens was also in those rooms with Jermaine Burton early on in his career. He transfers to Alabama, plays alongside Bryce Young, has a decent year. And this year, with not the absolute best quarterback play with Jalen Milroe, all Jermaine Burton did was produce. Now, Andy, here's what I like about him. He could play all three positions. He's a high IQ football player. Now, I will also say this. He's a jerk, okay? He is not the most affable guy. And I personally could care less for this guy because he was committed to LSU and he broke our hearts there at the very end. But, Andy, when I woke up this morning, I thought Jermaine Burton stuff was going to be at least in the middle teens and closer to the $20 range. These autos are cheap. They are cheap for Bowman first autos of a producer at – two of the toughest schools to produce at. I've grown into Jermaine Burton as an actual NFL player next year, especially at these card prices.
Very, very interesting. Yeah, there's such little downside in this card. $6.99 for a Bowman Chrome University first auto. That is very, very little down. That is the bare bones bottom. I'm even looking at a gold lava out of 50 here for $30 OBO. So maybe you can make an offer or a bundle deal with this buyer. Something I like to do is when I see a guy like this, I'll go into his store and see if he's got more Jermaine Burton or if he's got some other stuff that I can bundle up to cover shipping, make him an offer. You know, try and sweeten the deal somehow, some way. But that's very, very, very favorable pricing with very little downside from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, and that's the issue. Is like he doesn't have a big personality. He's kind of an a-hole. And I have heard this confirmed from some of my sources that the NFL's also kind of picked up on some attitude issues, but. He can play, man. He can flat out play. And I like his positional versatility as well. Once again, not really my cup of tea, but I'm here to give you guys dudes that can play. And Jermaine Burton can definitely play. Once again, you do have to deal with the attitude issues, but still. So there you go. Andy, we'll take a few more questions here. I'm still blown away how cheap some of this stuff is. It's just crazy, absolutely crazy. Yeah. And if it doesn't work out, you're out $10 at the door. I mean, can't really beat that. Carter, how do I feel about Walker Howard? He will keep the Rebs winning after Jackson Dart. Yeah, so Walker Howard is a little bit of a buy for me, Andy. He's not going to be in the NFL draft anytime soon. But he will be the starting quarterback for Ole Miss, not this year, but the next year. The only issue you're going to have, Jason, is Bowman first are in LSU uniforms. So that stinks from that vantage point if you are an Ole Miss fan trying to buy stuff. But he's going to be really good in that offense. I don't think he's going to be a big-time pro prospect. But who knows? Jackson Dart might get hurt. He put up big numbers, and you might be rolling well. So I think he is a bit of a buy. So there you go. Andy, you could take the next one, Andy. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so I think David Mills is kind of coming in here late. Shout out to David. He's actually over in Europe, so he's way ahead of us, catching up late night. So shout out to our friends in Europe. He said, does anybody know which wide receiver the Chiefs will draft? That will be the play of the draft. Yeah, we talked about that potential landing spot there late in the first round for the Chiefs and the Bills. Potentially a guy like Ladd McConkey. You've got quite a few guys there, but that was the guy we talked about earlier in this stream that has a potential outcome of landing on the Chiefs.
Here's one thing I think Patrick Mahomes gets like not enough credit for. Like I think in a way people underrate how much Andy Reid helps him as a player. He is the best quarterback. I'm not denying that. But one thing he doesn't get enough credit for is overcoming all these bad skill position drafts, right? I think it was either Gabe or Hector who brought it up earlier. You know, that they bungle the Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing, and it broke my heart. It didn't work out, but he's still with the team. Sky Moore stinks. Kadarius Toney is a lunatic. You know, now you got this Rashee Rice situation, which is an absolute mess. You know, Patrick Mahomes just keeps churning away. He still finds a way to get it done. And maybe the Chiefs say, look, there's going to be so much pressure on this first-round receiver to finally succeed. Let's just trade back and see if we can get two receivers for the price of one, because this is such a deep wide receiver draft. You know, it's so, like, locked in, Andy, that the Chiefs are going to draft a wide receiver there at the end of the first, that I think it's just, like, too obvious that they're going to draft a wide receiver at the end of the first. So I'm not dead set on them getting a first-round receiver, but it is a good point that if whichever wide receiver does go there, they're going to get the Rashee Rice treatment and their cards are going to skyrocket.
Hey, and Patrick Mahomes, for that matter, has gone up a small amount. And considering how expensive his prices were, a lot of people would like to point to his market and say that the overall card market is down. But I'll say if you look at his graded market, which is the primary focus for a lot of people, just because there's a lot of fakes out there, Patrick Mahomes rookie cards from 2017, there a lot of them are up over the past 6 months. And so this is going all the way back. If you look here for the entire year, our latest transaction is a $4,800 buy it now just last week.
Nice.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that is... You can even look at like Super Bowl time frame. You had $4,200 auctions, $4,350 auctions, and we're up from that to a $4,800 buy it now. So that's really good to see. Market is really, really liquid right now, Carter.
Let's go, Patty. I like it when the go cards do what they do, man. Because a rising tide lifts all boats, right?
Yes, sir.
Hector wants to know, Andy, if you're going to do a live draft show.
I will be doing a live draft show, and I'm getting a lot of pressure from some guys. They want coverage all 3 days. Last year, we did coverage the first 2 days, the Thursday and the Friday night. So I'll definitely be doing that. I've got a lot of family things going on behind the scenes now that you guys will very soon be aware of, because it's going to, you know, impacts slightly, but not our content per se. Just you'll see what I'm talking about soon. I just can't say anything yet. But we will be doing a live draft show next Thursday night. And I don't know if Carter's available. I'd love to have him stop in. Maybe simulcast to Power Hour NFL.
Yeah. Well, Andy, I'll go in and tell people what's going on. I'm actually moving into your house. For those that don't know, Andy needed some help with rent, and he said, Carter, I'll pay for your trip to Tampa so I can make the house note. He said the eBay taxes ate him up this year. So I will be rooming with Andy. And I haven't told my wife this. I'm actually taking the dog, and I'm leaving her with the Peyton Manning. I'm leaving her with one Peyton Manning auto to cover some of my expenses. So that should cover everything. I'm leaving her one Peyton Manning auto and one Kadarius Toney auto, and that should cover her for the rest of the year. So there you go. Andy, I'll let you take the final few questions, because I know a lot of people are shocked by that news.
Yeah, it's going to take them a few minutes to kind of process how that's going to be when we're both on the same camera here. And we're just always going to be like that, actually. I don't know if you guys remember what a futon is, but I got one for Carter. It's right over here. Got him a futon. He can just fold that thing up when he's ready to stream.
All right. I will tell you this before we do skedaddle. All right. So Andy has been doing like this weight loss journey thing. And I went to Louisiana. I had some YouTube stuff I had to do for the LSU spring game. And I got so fat. All it takes, y'all, is one weekend of bad eating. So I've got to turn this around. So next week, if I haven't lost at least 3 pounds, I'm going to do the entire live stream next Tuesday while running. I'm going to put a little treadmill on here. So I'm putting myself to the test. I got to lose at least 3 before next weekend. Yeah, so there you go.
Come on, man. That's nothing. It's got to be more like, let's make it a little bit realistic, like 6. You could drop 3 in water weight overnight. Yeah, because you could drop 3 in water weight overnight. I mean,
a 6 spot.
I mean, you were eating boudin balls and jambalaya and chicken wings. I know you were. So I mean, you kind of start cleaning that up a little bit and go on a jog and you lose 3 pounds.
There we go. But yeah, we appreciate each and every one of you. We'll talk to you guys next week. Andy, is there anything else that you wanted to share with all the lovely people?
Appreciate you guys. Make sure you subscribe, turn those bell notifications on, leave us a comment in the comment section below. If you were to buy, sell, hold, this is my final thing, because I wanted to do this earlier. Yeah. So if you were to buy, sell, hold, right? And you have to pick one for each. All right. So I'm going to put it up here on the screen. Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, Devontae Adams. Which one do you buy? Which one do you sell? Which one do you hold?
I am definitely keeping Mike Evans, selling Baker Mayfield, and I guess I'm keeping Devontae or trading Devontae. How about that?
I think that's a good idea, because I think you can trade Devontae, especially if they draft another quarterback. There's a lot of quarterback ambiguity there for Vegas. So Devontae with a premium, especially in rookie cards, he has got a premium right now on his rookie cards. You can sell him for a premium, keep Mike Evans, hold him, and then you can basically, we're going to flip Baker Mayfield. We're going to, he would be the buy, you know, he's the least valuable. So in terms of like sports cards, especially as a quarterback, I guess he would be the buy, because if, you know, going back to the beginning of the stream, you guys saw 2018 values on Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. If we brought in Baker Mayfield, you would think that Baker Mayfield played for the XFL or Canadian Football League compared to these guys. I mean, it's crazy. Look at the PSA 10 difference. Wow. Baker Mayfield's base honors PSA 10, $35. I mean, that's the raw Josh Allen and almost raw Lamar Jackson cost. I mean, PSA 10 Baker Optic, $52. So he is it's crazy, crazy cheaper than those other guys.
I honestly, out of any quarterbacks, I've never lost money on Baker. Never. That has been one of my highest profit cards. And I'm not the biggest like buyer flipper, but why not? I need to go buy more Baker Mayfield. So maybe sell wasn't the right pick for me, but I think Tampa Bay is going to be bad next year. Sorry to say it. I think they're going to be bad.
Yeah, we may be. I mean, we exceeded expectations in a pretty big way this past year, and we lost Dave Canales. He's now the head coach of the Panthers. The guy got promoted. I'm definitely concerned about that because the play calling the year prior under Byron Leftwich was bad. You know, Tom Brady's final year, that went south really, really poorly, and Todd Bowles cannot call an offense. So very concerned about play calling this year. I was sad to see Dave Canales go. So that definitely, but a lot of people don't take that into consideration enough, you know, what the new coordinator is going to do. And I think the Panthers are going to get better. Yeah. But the Falcons are going to get a lot better, and the Saints are always contenders in the NFC South. So I think they'll be, you know, run of the mill solid. So the Bucs are really, really swimming upstream in 2024. So I'm with you, Carter. I think it was a good, pretty good assessment we had there.
All right, guys. Peace.
All right, y'all. See you next time. Peace.